Say, Lord Jesus,
I have ears to hear,
and I have eyes to see.
My inner man is listening, and my heart will perceive that you're talking to me. Amen. I want to take you on a little bit of a journey, and we're going to go, hold on a minute, I gotta find it. Be patient with me.
That's what I kept saying to the lady on the bank yesterday. I said, please be patient, but I said, this is not going well. She was good for being young, and that's not really critical, which I don't usually find them patient. She was extremely patient, walked me through the whole thing, and I complimented her. I said, thank you for hanging in with me while I did the whole thing. And, really, to be congratulated that she would not lose it and say,
right.
She didn't.
Well, I want to take you to John chapter 4. And I'm going to be using the Passion Translation. And there's a verse that is kind of neat because it really identifies something that we don't often pay attention to. It's actually verse 29. Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the one we've been waiting for. Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go and see Jesus. But the footnote is incredible. Although unnamed in biblical accounts, church tradition identifies the Samaritan woman to be Photini, Photini. That would be her name. An internet search of her name will yield many interesting stories about her post-conversion ministry, meaning what she did after she was changed by the Lord and his living water, including her being named as an apostle. Now, tradition would have a fit on this one, okay? An apostle of Jesus and her eventual martyrdom. So they literally killed her because of her testimony. Regardless of the validity of the extra-biblical reference, history records her as the first New Testament evangelist to win a city for Christ. To win a city for the Anointed One. God is faithful to use anyone to reach others when we are honest to tell others that Jesus knows everything we've ever done and he still loves us. He knows everything we've ever done, and he still loves us. Now, when you read about her history, which we're going to look at now, and I didn't expect to go there today, except I did hear in my heart read this, and I just said, okay, Lord, I've given this message before. He said, I want you to give it, but you listen to what I'm going to show you in the process. So, John chapter 4, verse 1. The news quickly reached the Jewish religious leaders, known as Pharisees, that Jesus was drawing greater crowds of followers coming to be baptized by than John. Although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but only his disciples. Jesus heard what was being said and abruptly left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee. So he didn't want to put up with the legal people of the city of Jerusalem and the hierarchy of the religious realm. He had to pass through Samaria, which when you look at the map of that time, Samaria was north of Judea. And it was very, let's say, difficult for Jews to walk through there because they hated each other. Okay? Verse 5. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Wearied by his long journey, I think it's important to see the word wearied, meaning he has now exhausted. And sometimes we think of Jesus as God, but he's living in a birth, in an earth suit. He's got emotions. He's got feelings. He gets tired. He gets hungry. He has all these issues just like you and me. So when we start wondering if he wants us to have a pickup truck, we want to find out if it's normal.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So he would understand if he was, you know, hanging out with you today and yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. On the edge of Jacob's well, he's sitting there, and sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She replied, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? For the Jews," it's in parentheses, "for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." In other words, they don't exist. They don't talk to each other. They're not in community. It's just not supposed to happen. Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am." Now notice the word "I am." I don't know if it registered in the Samaritan woman that when Moses was looking at that burning bush in the Ten Commandments, the movie, did you ever see it? Would be wise to get, take a peek. The bush speaks, "I am." Jesus is giving her the same words. So she has a knowledge of the Lord, in a sense, in a traditional way, if you wish. So he's giving her a hint, but I don't think she catches on. And the gift that God wants to give you. Why is that important? Because he already knows her heart. He knows how much trouble she's been through, but he knows her heart. "You'd ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." Well, for her, that's probably a very strange comment, because she's living in the natural realm, not understanding the realm of the spirit. So the woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is very deep." Reasoning. See the reasoning that she gives him? And she's logical. "So where do you find this living water?" Amen? "Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water that I give them, they will never be thirsty again. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit. You notice the wording is so different? It becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life. Isn't that intense? That is explaining your situation with your trying to figure out making sure that this is God that wants that truck. And no different than my sister making sure, well, who's calling me? I don't have any connections in New Jersey, especially with the police department. You know, there's no logic there. And you reason things out. What would they have that belongs to me? And immediately your head goes into, and you do the same. And I do too. So it's not an accusation. But when you have Holy Spirit flooding you with endless life, he's going to make you buy three couches and one won't make sense. Well, you're having a good time on that one, right? You should have seen my wife. If you would have seen my wife as we were driving home that night when that sofa was in the showroom, she says, "Kim, how?" I said, "Honey, I didn't make a mistake. They made the mistake. But what are we going to do with it?" I said, "It's going to sell." And that's what exactly what I said to you. Your house is going to sell. Why? Because you're declaring it. Mark 11:24, "Believe you have received and it will be done unto you." Well, it doesn't make sense to believe that it's already done, but God says declare it. That's what faith is all about. So the woman replied, "Let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water." Reasoning. See it? "You're going to save me a trip. I won't have to come to the well." That's not where he's coming from. But that's where she's tied into the natural. And I was tied to the natural, no different than all of us. But God showed me there's a higher realm to live. And it's with his Spirit. And once you walk and you obey his Spirit, it's an adventure every single day. And it's not going to be logical. You're giggling, Sheila. I like it. Jesus said, "Go get your husband and bring him back to her. Bring him back here." Now watch the question. He already knows her status, but his questioning to her to find out what she's going to respond. Okay? "But I'm not married," the woman answered. "That's true," Jesus said, "for you've been married 5 times. And now you're living with a man who is not your husband. Woohoo! You have told the truth." The woman changed the subject. The woman changed the subject. Why? He's just opened her right up. And he's read her mail. The woman changed the subject. "You must be a prophet. So tell me this. Why do our fathers worship God on this nearby mountain, but your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship?" Who is right? So she's teachable. She's teachable and she spoke the truth. Jesus responded, "Believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you will worship the Father, neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart." So simple. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when you start worshiping the Lord and giving him thanks, your inner man activates and goes to work on behalf of the Lord. including the garage, including me having to buy new tires again. You know what I'm saying? It's not something complicated, but religion makes it complicated. So she says, he says, 22, your people don't really know the one they worship, but we Jews worship out of our experience, for it's from the Jew that salvation is available. Now that comment, I believe he is declaring a truth that she's going to pay attention to, because she really believes her Samaritan background is covering everything and she's okay. He's letting her know, no, there's a missing link here. So, verse 24. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with a right heart. For God is spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. The woman said, this is all so confusing. But I do know that the Anointed One is coming, the true Messiah. And when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. Now watch this verse because it's the most important. 26. Jesus said to her, you don't have to wait any longer. The Anointed One is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for. Clear, to the point, and precise. No variants. Just very, very clear. 27. At that moment, his disciples returned and were stunned to see Jesus speaking with a Samaritan woman. Yet, none of them dared to ask him why or what they were discussing. All at once, the woman left her water jar and ran off to her village to tell everyone. Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the one we've been waiting for. He could be. Does that comment make sense to a person who is very rational? I think it does. I think it refers to the right situation because she's still having maybe a question in her heart. Things are not quite clear yet, but they will be. Hearing this, see, that's the evangelist that they speak of. Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go see Jesus. Then the disciples began to insist that Jesus eat some of the food they brought back with them, saying, teacher, you must eat something. But Jesus told them, I have eaten a meal you don't know about. Puzzled by this, the disciples began to discuss it among themselves. Again, logic. Did someone already bring food? To clarify, Jesus spoke up and said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion. That verse is pretty clear. He's not here just to fill up his body. He's here to please Papa. And that satisfaction is greater than the hunger pains he's probably feeling. So, as the crowd emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is the harvest time. The hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a harvest. Everyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. But those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the spiritual harvest will celebrate together with great joy. And this confirms the saying, one sows the seed and another reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you. And now you are privileged to profit from their labor and reap the harvest. Many from the Samaritan village became believers in Jesus. Many from the Samaritan village became believers in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. So is a testimony important? Absolutely. Are your praise reports important? Yes, because it encourages all of us to hear what's going on in your heart. And it also may feed us where later we're experiencing something and you'll know immediately, well, that guy bought a pickup truck because he obeyed the Lord. You know, that one there pays her bills on mine. Hey, awesome. He told me everything I ever did. So again, the word of knowledge is just as alive today as it was in that day. And when you give someone a word and you know that they have received it as truth, they will be able to say, hey, I tasted it. I've lived it. Now I can speak it to someone else. Then they begged Jesus to stay with them, so he stayed there for two days, resulting in many more coming to faith in him because of his message. The Samaritan woman said, now we've heard him ourselves. We no longer believe just because of what you told us, but we're convinced that he really is the true Savior of the world. I rest my case. If you'll put your hand over your heart, say, Lord Jesus, these words are yours, and we've heard them from your Spirit, releasing me into a new place of confidence when I hear your word and the truth is verified. It gives me courage to continue because the Redeemer, the Savior, the Healer, the Deliverer lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.